1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting from verse 1.
All who enter charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy.
St. Paul is telling us, follow after love. When you say follow after love, what does it mean? When you say follow Jesus Christ, what does it mean? Follow Jesus means do what Jesus does. Or please Jesus, or do His will. Follow the love means whatever the love does, we do. And that's what the following the charity is all about. And desire the spiritual gifts, but rather than ye may prophesy. First of all, you follow the love, and then whatever the gifts God has given to you, use it for the glory of God. And then he says, you may prophesy. And prophecy means, as I said, prophesying means telling about God. Telling what God is saying means, another word, preaching. Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's the one of the way is prophecy. Everyone should go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ.
For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh.
People take this scripture, they will be saying to you, St. Paul is saying, do not speak in tongue, because if you speak in tongue, we do not understand. And so, please don't speak in tongue. But that's what not Paul is saying here. As we learn this chapter, you're going to learn St. Paul is not against speaking in tongue. Now in this verse too, he says, he that speaketh in unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Now if somebody says, if he's not speaking unto man, there is no use of speaking in tongue. That's what the idea comes in your mind. But he says something else. But unto God. That means when you're speaking in tongue, you are not speaking with man, but you're speaking to God. Which is important? Speaking to God is important, or speaking to man is important? Both things are important, but first thing, you speak to God. Because what we say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the spiritual things. Then seek ye first God. If you want to talk to people, you should talk to God first. When you talk to God, then God will tell you what to tell others. That's why if you say speaking in tongue is speaking with God, and then he says, no man understands the person who is speaking in tongue. Then again somebody says, if I'm speaking with God and I'm not speaking with man, and man doesn't understand me, then what is use of speaking in tongue? But he says, he speaks in his spirit, so he says, how be it, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. That means when you're speaking to God in unknown tongue, God is speaking to you, you're speaking to God, and God reveals his mystery when you're speaking in tongue. Now, when somebody is speaking to God and speaking in mystery, other people want to know. That's the time you have to have interpretation. That's what he's trying to say. Verse 3.
But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort.
Okay, now he's saying, when you speak to man, what you're doing? You edify the person, you exhort the person, and you comfort the person. That is the message is for the church. That means church people need some encouragement. Church people need some comforting words to grow in the Lord. So he's trying to say, when you prophesying, these are the things should be coming in your prophecy. Verse 4.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church.
Now again, he says, if you speak in an unknown tongue, you edify yourself. But if you prophesy, you will be edifying the church. Now, which is good? Somebody say edifying the church is the best thing. But if you do not edify yourself, how can you edify the church? So which one is first? First is edifying yourself. How you edify yourself? You speak to God in unknown tongue. That's where you edify yourself. First you talk to God. First you edify yourself. Then you will be able to edify the church with the prophecy, with the word of God. So it is very important that believers should be speaking to God in unknown tongue. Verse 5.
I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying.
If somebody says, St. Paul is saying, do not speak in tongue because you are not edifying the church. He's not saying that. He said, I would that all speak with tongues. He says, not one, all. That means he is encouraging all the church members to speak in tongues. And then what he's saying, but I want you to prophesy. That means he is not saying don't speak in tongue. He's saying all should speak in tongue, but I like you to preach more, or preach that is more important, because when you're preaching, you are giving the message to the church and edifying the church members. Speaking in tongue and speaking to people and preaching to people, these two different things, but they are both important. Want you to be preaching more than speaking in tongue in the church. Verse 6.
Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine?
Now he's giving an example. He says, okay, people, if I come to church, and there are hundreds of people sitting there to listen to me, I came to church and start speaking in tongue, hours and hours, and you sitting there, and you don't know what I'm talking to. So he said, when you come, he's talking to the preacher, the minister. Minister's job is edifying the church. So he said, what are the things minister is supposed to do? He says, the minister should have the revelation of God. He should have the knowledge of God. And he should have the doctrines of God. And he should be preaching those things to church. So many churches, they are not preaching the doctrine, not revealing the knowledge of God, and not prophesying, or not giving the revelation what God is telling to church. But the man of God should be teaching what the word of God is saying. Our Bible is full of the knowledge of the word of God, full of the revelation of the word of God, and full of the doctrine of the word of God. And that's what he said, I'm supposed to come and do. If I don't do that, if I'm just coming to church and keep on talking in tongue, it will not profit you at all. Verse 7.
And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Okay.
Now here he is giving an example. He says, all these instruments of music, or the trumpet, or any other sound you make, that sound should make some kind of sound that you can understand. Just like if somebody start playing the piano and pressing the notes, you would not know what song is. But if you put those notes in a different tune, right away you are going to say, I know what song he is playing. The same way, the trumpet. If somebody start making the noise of trumpet, they would not know. But they have certain kinds of trumpet sound. When you sound such a way, you are ready for battle. Sound such a way, then you know some kind of warning. So each and every instrument, we play, they have some kind of rules and regulation how to play. And that sound, you should understand what that sound is all about. The same way he's saying, if somebody speaking in tongue and keep on speaking in tongue and not giving interpretation, not saying what he's saying in the tongue, then there is no use, just like us talking to air and nobody understands. That should not happen. That's what St. Paul is saying. Okay, verse 10.
There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me.
So he's saying there are all kinds of voices, means all kinds of languages in the world. And so, if I am talking to somebody and person doesn't understand me, or other person is talking to me and I do not understand him, it will sound like a barbarian. When you say barbarian, it's like an unlearned, uneducated person who doesn't talk properly, so we do not understand his language. So in short, he's trying to say, when you talk, that other person should understand what you say. Otherwise, there is no mean talking to each other. I don't know if you saw that commercial. There is a one man goes and sits with one person and telling all his problems, whatever the problem he has. And the other person start talking to him maybe in Russian language. That person says, I don't understand what you're giving me advice. What I'm trying to say, if you sitting with somebody and talking in one language an hour or so, and other person talking to you in his own language, both of you do not understand each other's language, then there is no meaning what you're talking about. So St. Paul is trying to say, important thing is, we have to project the voice which has the meaning, and other person should understand what you're talking about. That is good for encouraging people in the Lord, and that's what he is trying to say. Verse 12.
Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church.
Now he says, if you have all these gifts, main thing you should keep in your mind, I want to edify the church. When I'm going to church, I want somebody to be helped with my ministry. Somewhere, somehow, I'm going to help somebody in the church, and that should be our desire. Verse 13.
Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret.
That's why St. Paul is saying, if you're speaking in tongue, then you pray to God, Lord, give me grace to interpret when I'm in the church. And if you don't have that kind of gift to interpret, then don't speak in church loud. You can speak to yourself. You can speak the way it should not be disturbing somebody. It's allowed. Some churches, they will not allow speaking in tongue. But he says, at least when you speaking in tongue, you should know how to interpret. Otherwise, you should not be doing this in church. Okay, verse 14.
For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also.
Somebody would say, when you read the verse 14, St. Paul is saying, when I'm praying in tongue, my spirit prayeth. Speaking in tongue or praying in tongue, if I'm edifying my spirit, even though I do not understand what I'm praying, shall I stop or shall I keep on doing it? Verse 15 is clear. It says, I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with understanding also. That means he said, I'll do the both. Speak in tongue and speak in your own language so you can understand or somebody can understand. So he is not opposing. It's very clear. He says, I will pray in tongue. I will sing in tongue, and I will pray in an understanding language also. So from this scripture, it is not, is saying, do not speak in tongue. But people are saying, if you're speaking in tongue and we do not understand, we don't want you to speaking. He says, And I will sing with the Spirit. Sing with the Spirit means it's not ordinary songs. It's an unknown tongue song in the Spirit. You can speak in the Spirit song also. If you want to know, Book of Revelation, chapter 14, it says they are singing the song nobody understands. Why? They were singing in unknown tongue. And so, you can sing the song with the Spirit, you can pray in the Spirit. This is allowed in the Word of God. Verse 16.
Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the guiding of thy hands of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all.
Now here when you're saying, when you're speaking in tongue and praising God, glorifying God, and even though you prayed in the tongue and you finish your prayer, but other person was sitting there, he didn't know when you stopped it or not, how can he say amen? And so he's saying, when you're speaking in tongue and other people do not understand, then there is no use of speaking if other person doesn't understand. But he is not saying you should stop speaking, only he is saying in the church. For example, if somebody keep on speaking in tongue, start making a lot of noise, and pastor is preaching, or somebody is saying something, and somebody keep on speaking in tongue, then the pastor should know that person should be stopped. Or that person should interpret, or pastor should interpret, or somebody should interpret. Otherwise, you cannot keep on speaking in tongue and disturbing, because nobody will understand what you're doing. Because he said everything should be edifying the body of Christ. That was the meaning. And so people should not be taking to St. Paul saying that he's saying don't speak in tongue. That's what the verse 18 is all about. What he's saying. I thank my God, I speak with the tongues more than you all. If the speaking in tongue is not good, why he has to thank God? You understand? He says, I thank my God, I speak with tongue more than you all. If you're thanking for something, that means you like it. When God has given unknown tongue, people are saying that is from devil. You have to tell them, St. Paul is saying, I thank God for the tongues. And I'm speaking in tongue or more than everyone. So, speaking in tongue is not prohibited in the Word of God. So, we should not be prohibiting in the church. That's the important thing. Verse 19.
Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men.
It is better to speak five words, means a short message people can understand, and you start speaking in tongue in 1 hour, thousands of words you spoke, nobody understood, so what should I do? I should keep quiet. If I don't have a message, then don't speak in tongue hours and hours and disturbing others. That will be no useful to other people. So the message is this. When you're coming to church, you should have the message for the church. Even though you're speaking in unknown tongue, you should have a message. Means you should interpret or let other person interpret. Everything is for the edification of the body of Christ. That's what he's trying to say. Now, verse 20, he says, brethren, be not children in understanding. What he's trying to say? If you are a child of God, you should know how to use your gift. He says, if you are a child of God, don't act like a baby Christian. You should be grown up Christian, knowing the spiritual matters. And he says, if you want to be child, what do you be child in? You child in what? Malice means sinful things, wicked things. Act like a child. I don't know anything. I don't do those things. I don't know all these things and ignore those evil things, but don't be ignorant about the word of God. Verse 21.
In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord.
Here he's saying, in the law it is written. Now, when you say in the law is written, it should be in the book of, or five book of Moses, or first five books called law. But this scripture is not found in the book of law, what he is saying here. Then somebody is saying, oh, then Paul might be lying. He's not lying. Everything what God gives through the prophet or through the scriptures is the will of God or is the commandment of God. That's what he says, it's a law. But it's in the book of Isaiah. Please read. Book of Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12. Book of Isaiah 28, verses 11. Okay.
For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear.
See, God says, I will be talking to these people with a different language they do not understand. But why this was saying, because the time will come when God will speak to us, or we will be speaking to God in unknown tongue. They will not still believe, they will not still understand, but the person who does this, it will be refreshing, or it will be a peace in their spirit. When you talk to God, you feel peace, you feel comfort, and so speaking in tongue is refreshing. Let's go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 23.
If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Or if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you.
Now he's giving an example. If all the church members keep on speaking in tongue, and the guest person came for the first time, and everybody speaking in tongue, and he said, what that person will get the message. But everyone start prophesying means, we heard that prophesying means you can give the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, or you can reveal something, what God is revealing to you, and just think somebody sitting there and somebody start prophesying. The man just came here and he is a murderer, or he just killed somebody. The person says, huh, who told him that I killed somebody? So what I'm trying to say, if that person hears some prophesying word, hears some preaching, that person might fall on his face, repent, and receive the truth at Jesus Christ. But if you keep on speaking in tongue, other person will not get the message. So in short, what he's trying to say, if you're speaking in tongue, that's okay. But important thing is, you should learn to preach and teach the word of God. Verse 26.
How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying.
See, now here is very clear. He is not opposing speaking in tongue. He says, when you come together, where? In a church meeting or prayer meeting or any gathering, spiritual gathering, he says everyone should have what? Psalms means singing, and then have doctrine, somebody is teaching doctrine, and someone be speaking in tongue, and somebody is revealing what God is telling, have a revelation, and all of these things, somebody is interpreting what the person is saying, and let all things be done unto edifying. And so if somebody tells you speaking in tongue is not done in church, in your privacy, then he'll say, here, it's not a privacy. This is in the church, right? This is in the church. You are coming and singing and having interpretation, having tongue, having revelation, doctrine. Everything is happening in the church. And some churches will say, oh no, you cannot do it in the church. Show this verse. Say, sir, where this can be done? The people gather together in one place. And all of these things should happen in the church. And then how can you say, don't do it in the church? He says, let all things be done unto edifying. The main theme is the pastor supposed to think everything should be in order. If somebody speaks in tongue, let him speak. But if he doesn't interpret, then somebody interpret. If somebody doesn't interpret and somebody doesn't have any revelation what the person is saying, then the pastor is supposed to say, stop it. Let all things, not one thing, all things be done unto edifying. That's the important thing. Verse 27.
If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret.
Now here is very clear again. If somebody speaks in tongue, these people took a such a way that a translation, one person preached the word of God, and two or three translators, more than that, they should not be translators. This is not a translator thing he's talking to. He's saying if somebody speaks in tongue, and just think that one person is speaking in tongue, and we have a group of people, some Spanish, some English, and some Indian. Now three groups of people are there, and if somebody is speaking in tongue, and if somebody start interpreting in only one language, Spanish, the other person say, I don't know. But if the English language everybody knows, then that person supposed to translate what he is doing, interpret in English, so everybody can understand. Main point he is trying to say, if somebody is speaking in tongue and giving the message in tongue, then somebody should translate, not more than three people, because there will be too much time will be taken. So two or three most. That's what he's trying to say. If somebody says, if you don't have interpretation, don't speak in tongue in the church, but you have to allow somebody to speak, then we will know who can interpret. And if somebody doesn't interpret, then you can tell somebody to keep quiet. But the Saint Paul encouraging people to speak in tongue in the church also. Verse 28.
But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God.
See, even here he says, when do not have interpretation, he did not say, shut that person. He said, okay, then you calm down and start speaking to yourself, means maybe a little bit quieter if you want to speak in tongue without disturbing somebody. Because important thing is we have to speak to God and God has to speak to us. If you're speaking to God and not telling us something, then you keep quiet talking to God. Don't interrupt other people. Verse 29.
Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge.
Okay, the same way. This is now prophecy. Other one was speaking in tongue. Now, this is the prophecy. Somebody has the prophecy. That person will be speaking in tongue and start prophesying. And then also he says, if the prophesying he is doing, then other people should judge what he's saying. And then tell the people, is it according to the word of God or not? Verse 30.
If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace.
Okay. Here somebody wants to speak in tongue and he has the word of knowledge or something like that. And there is other person and he also something. So two people start talking, speaking in tongue and start making noise at the same time. One of the persons supposed to think, hey, let him say something first, and then I'll take my turn. And if not, the pastor has to say, okay, sir, you say first, and other person, you hold on until this person finish. And some churches, they do not have the order, and so they do like a bazaar. We had a church in Ukrainian church, And while I was preaching, that one person start keep on speaking in tongues so loud and so start disturbing service, and his pastor was sitting there, but the pastor didn't say, could you calm down or hold on, or somebody said, say some interpretation, didn't do anything. So after the service, I talked to the pastor. I said, this is wrong. You should train your people when to speak in tongue and how to speak in tongue or how to interpret. So that's what St. Paul is saying. The church has to have some rules and regulations. You cannot make a church like a bazaar and anybody say anything, even the testimony time. When two people start doing testimony, the pastor has to say, okay, you calm down, let this person speak, and then you speak. You cannot make a bazaar a church. Verse 31.
For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted.
See, here he say, he's giving permission to all. Everyone wants to prophesy. Let's say, take a turn and do it one by one. And the main thing is, we want church to edify, church to be comforted. We do not want hurting anybody's feeling. Let's do in order. That's what he's trying to say. Verse 32.
And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets.
This is very important. You go to some Pentecostal churches and somebody is speaking in tongue or prophesying and getting carried away and doesn't understand the timing, doesn't understand the rules and regulations, and carrying in saying, as the Spirit leads, let the church go, or let the Spirit leads and let the man say anything he wants to say, and doesn't matter what time or what is what. That is wrong. Because he says, even though you speak in tongue or you prophesy, you have to have control over your prophecy or over your tongue. You cannot say, I carried away, but Spirit led me. Spirit will not lead you in a wrong way. One lady came to our church and I said, if anybody wants to pray, please pray. And that lady started praying. Now this lady kept on praying. And speaking in tongue and praying, keeping his tongue and praying. I said, when she's going to stop? I looked at the clock and 45 minutes, and I said, how I'm going to do it? So finally, when she waited for her breath, I gave the benediction and meeting is over. After service, she came to me. She said, you quenched the Spirit of God. I said, what did I do? I was praying and you stopped my prayer in the middle. I says, ma'am, I did not tell you to stop. I did not say anything because I saw you going without stoppage. You are not considering other people. Service is already over. This is the last prayer and you are carrying on. It is not the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, this is all your pride and this is all showing it off, and this is not good for you. You better control your spirit, otherwise you will fall. And she didn't understand. Within 6 months or so, somebody told me, that person who came to your church is fallen in sin and is gone away from the Word of God. So that's what happens. So the Word of God is saying, if you preaching, prophesying, praying in a tongue or doing anything, everything you have to do according to the will of God. So a prophet tells you, I did it this because I was in the Spirit. Whoever doing the prophecy, God has given the Spirit under control. You can control it. You cannot say, I cannot control it. Verse 33.
For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints.
You cannot take the name of the Lord and the name of the Spirit and keep on doing your things and disturbing the service. The Word of God says, our God is a God of peace, not a God of confusion. And he says, all the churches should know this, and all the saints should know these things. Verse 34.
Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church.
Now, in these two scriptures, people will take and they will say, St. Paul was against ladies speaking. He was not against ladies speaking in the church. If you go to India or Pakistan or some other places, the lady sits one side and man sits another side in the church. They don't sit like in America, husband and wife sitting and holding wife or things like that in the church. They give a little bit of respect in the church when you're sitting in the church, sit with the holiness, sit with some kind of respect to the Spirit of God. Sit in separate place. Now just think that one lady was married and she's sitting in here and the husband is sitting in there. And the preacher preached something and she didn't understand. She started saying, what he's saying? Could you tell me? And disturbing the service, so he said, why don't you go home and talk to your own husband? Even he said, don't go and ask some other man. You know, the pastor was saying something I didn't understand. Did you understand something? Don't take the excuse of this and talking to some other guy and learn Bible from him. He says, go to your own husband and listen from him. Don't do trouble in the church because there are not one lady. If one lady start doing this, other ladies start doing this and the church will be bizarre. So if you have some questions, go to your house and talk to your husband and learn from him. That's what he was trying to say. But if you learn the book of Acts, Aquila and Priscilla was with Paul in their house. Apollos went and they taught him. And he's saying, Phoebe, in her house, there is a church. So he was not against preachers or lady preachers. But there is a rules and regulations in the Word of God. The ladies, if they are not married and they are unmarried, they should not be going to Bible college, studying the Bible and being a pastor. That is not good for them. What they're supposed to do, get married, a pastor if they want to preach, and assist the husband in the ministry. If the husband dies and she has a lot of knowledge and she wants to pastor the church, wait until she is 60 or older and then do the ministry. Otherwise, if her husband died and she is still in 30s or 20s, then Paul says, get married, have family. But over 60 years old, those are the people who are allowed, ladies, to minister. But many people are not taking this by biblical teaching and they want to do their own way. They will say, Jesus Christ told the first ladies to go and preach. Jesus Christ told, and St. Paul is telling here, whole church, you go and prophesy, you preach. He did not say, ladies, you should not prophesy. Anybody has authority to tell about the Word of God. Jesus Christ did not send those ladies to go to synagogue and preach. They went to house telling Jesus is risen. Jesus did not ordain any ladies to be pastor with him. They had only all men working with him as the ministers. A lady should work with her husband and minister. If she wants to be pastor, wait until she is 60 years old, according to the Word of God. I'll tell you what happened. There was one lady got saved first, and then she talked to her boyfriend, and he got saved through her. Now, both of them came in the ministry. Now, the lady says, I came first to God, so I want to be pastor. You be my assistant pastor. The man was humble. He said, okay, you be pastor, I'll be assistant. Now that lady was uneducated, husband was educated. That lady didn't know how to sing or play piano. This man was playing the organ, singing. She didn't know how to talk to government officer or anybody, this man will do everything. She knew a little bit preaching. This man was much better preacher. So, but she said, I'm the chief pastor, senior pastor. You be my assistant pastor. And I met this couple. And I saw both of them. And I said, why cannot be you be pastor and your wife will be assisting you? He said, well, she told me about Jesus, so I got saved. So she's so proud about that and she wants to do this thing. I said, this is not biblical. God is not going to bless this ministry. And I said, you know, this is not good. The wife didn't listen. What happened? Husband died. When husband died, the lady didn't know what to do about the ministry. Finally, she called somebody, a massage therapy man, start giving her massage and this and that. Finally, she gave that church to him, and all other church members start saying, that man is young, why are you keeping him alone with you? You should not be having this man in the house. And she didn't listen to anybody. Finally, church was completely destroyed. What I'm trying to say, that's a pride. If she would have listened to me, let the man be the head of the house. If he's not head of the house in your house, you are not allowing him the head of the church either. So that kind of ministry is not from the Lord. So that's what I'm trying to say. Paul is not against ministry. Paul is not against ladies, because he's the one writes, in Christ there is no male or no female. Paul is the one who writes, in Christ we are all equal. The Paul is not against ladies, but some of the ladies, they are some kind of troublemakers. Men also, they were troublemakers. But here he says, sitting in there and trying to cause trouble to church, that is not good. That's what St. Paul is saying. You better go home and learn from your husband, because this is a shameful thing you are doing in the church. Okay, verse 36.
What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant.
If some prophecy or the word of God came, it does not come just for you. When God gives you something, it is not for you alone, it is for somebody else too. Now, when pastor preaching, he is not preaching to audience, he is preaching to himself too. So when you saying something, you have to know this is not for one man, this is for everybody. Please read verse 37.
But if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
If you are a prophet, if you are a man of God, then you should say, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing the will of God. I should be obeying the commandments of God. You cannot say I'm a prophet and I can do anything and hurt the church. Verse 38.
But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant.
Okay, that's what he's saying. What do you mean? If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. That means, I say, okay, Bible says, should be ignorant, so I'm ignorant. I don't want to know anything about it. I don't want to do anything about it. And that's what the word of God says. Book of Revelation, it says, if anybody wants to commit sin, keep on committing sin. If you want to be somebody holy, be holy. If somebody wants to be unholy, unholy. Oh, the God told me to be unholy. That's what I'm doing unholy. Doesn't work that way. He says, when you're unholy, the judgment of God will come upon you. The same way he said, if you want to be ignorant, then God will judge you. Don't be ignorant. That's what he's saying. If you want to be ignorant, we learned before, ignorant about sin and sinful things, be ignorant. But for spiritual things, you should be smart. You should be alert. Don't do ignorant things. Verse 39.
Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues.
Do not forbid speaking in tongues. Important thing is prophecy, but he is not saying stop speaking in tongues. He's encouraging. He says, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Here is the command. He says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. That's a command. Then you have to talk to those people. If it is God says, do not stop somebody speaking in tongues, who are you? So you are wrong. And then he says, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. This is the job or responsibility of the pastor. Everything should be decently in order in the church. God has given us all this freedom, and not a single church or single denomination has the power to change it. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have given us all your gifts. And you have given us grace to speak in tongue, speak to God, and speak to man. Let each and everyone edify themselves before they can edify others. And let not a single church or denomination forbid speaking in tongue. Encourage people to speak with God, speak in tongue, and prophesy. And use all the gifts God has given. Without pride, use it for the glory of God. To edifying the church of God. Give us grace in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.